Looking for your next favorite podcast? Start here.
I was kind of like a lot of other trans people. I didn't expect to hit 30.
Can I ask you how old you are now?
I'm 46. I came out when I was 39. We call it second puberty because it's literally going through puberty again. Your body's trying to get used to these new hormones. I literally have the sex drive of a teenager, and it's driving me nuts in this like middle-aged body.
I did have a beer today that was brewed with avocado, so I felt very, very Californian.
Historically, we did receive money from the city of Cincinnati under their human services funding. And over the past several years, that funding for us was cut. It was reduced over time.
Welcome to this week's episode of the WVXU Discovery Podcast, Start Here. I'm Trip Eldridge, your podcast jockey. Get set for a quick overview and sample of three podcasts today, two national and one locally produced, to help you navigate the ever-growing world of the podcast phenomenon. Plus, we're introducing the all-new Start Here Blast weekly e-newsletter. You'll get a personalized email with a podcast we feature on Start Here. Just go to wvxu.org/subscribe and select the Start Here Blast email from the bottom of the page. Also, now you can rate Start Here on iTunes. And if you're a fan, a 5-star rating will help others find us in the iTunes gallery. So don't forget to rate us on iTunes today. And now, with special thanks for technical assistance from Cincinnati Public Radio's Jim Nolan and writing research and curation support by Connor Eldridge, it's time to Start Here. If you've seen something on the internet, chances are it came from Reddit. But many people don't know the full extent of the influence of the popular online forum. Enter Ben Brock Johnson and Amory Sievertson of WBUR Boston. They've teamed up to bring you Endless Thread, a podcast about the boundless communities that call Reddit home. In a time where the internet is flooded with negativity, trolling, and bad news, Endless Thread explores some of the most compelling stories the internet has to offer, including revelations about our shared experiences, powerful personal stories, and cat videos. Ben and Amory see the beauty of Reddit and the connections that it facilitates as a reflection of the possibility and potential of the internet, and they want to share that beauty with you. So jump down the rabbit hole and discover the best stories the web has to offer. Now, to give you a better sense for this Endless Thread podcast, check out the snippet from the episode Turning Hate on the Internet into Humor. In the episode, they explore the story of an elite unit of positivity trolls engaged in an existential battle against hate speech on the internet. In this clip, Ben and Amory discuss the dark side of Reddit and where even in the biggest, quote, dumpster fires, you can find inspiring stories.
Amory, let's do like a Reddit and internet lingo refresher. Is that cool?
Yep.
Yeah, because we don't always define this stuff or talk about it at length. Are you ready?
Ready.
Okay. Sub.
Stands for subreddit. It's a community on Reddit.
Okay. Ding. Mod.
Stands for moderator. It's someone who oversees a community.
Ding. Admin.
Stands for administrator, and it's someone who kind of oversees the mods and everything.
Ding. Email.
An electronic message sent through the waves of the internet.
We're surfing on the internet.
I think we should talk about this question that's been plaguing us about today's episode, though. The question of, are we supposed to be doing this? Like, we get serious on Endless Thread, and we get sad, and we definitely get nerdy. But are we going to march into the inner workings of subreddits? Are we going to get dark? Like dumpster fire dark?
I think eventually we kind of have to, because any place that truly reflects the real world on the internet has some dumpster fires. And if we are going to pretend that Reddit doesn't have dumpster fires, we wouldn't be really doing our job, which is to find all kinds of good stories on Reddit. Some of those good stories are gonna be about dumpster fires and about the people who try to put those fires out.
Which is why we want to introduce you to Drewy Poodle.
Hi, I'm Drewy Poodle on Reddit.
Drewy is a super Reddit user and a trans woman with a doozy of a life story.
And where are you from?
How much time do you have? I was born in Singapore.
Okay.
Went to the army there. And okay. Went to school there, graduated, came here to the U.S., started working, then stayed, got married.
So you were in the army in Singapore?
Yeah. You really haven't lived life until you've actually tried to cross a river filled with crocodiles and people on either bank with loaded M16s looking out for you. Like almost any other trans person, a lot of us just join because it would be easier to die in the service of your country than it is to come out. I just signed up for the most, you know, the unit that had the most training accidents, let's say. So, Singapore is a lot of things. What it isn't is conducive to life for any queer person.
This unit that Drewy was in is called the Singapore Guards. It is no joke. Elite, versatile, focused on combat.
Next time, your volume is not up to standard. This will be the only way you will do your warm-up. Clear!
Also, Drewy purposefully got into a river with crocodiles, which means she knows about dangerous situations.
I figured if I died in that service, I wouldn't have to go through the rest of, you know, life figuring out how to leave. So, but I lived through that. And the next step was basically coming over here. I got a student visa, came over here. By the time I got here, I was like 24. I thought it was too late to transition. So I figured, I'll just party as hard as I can. And I was kind of like a lot of other trans people. I didn't expect to hit 30.
Can I ask you how old you are now?
I'm 46. I came out when I was 39. We call it second puberty because it's literally going through puberty again. Your body's trying to get used to these new hormones. I literally have the sex drive of a teenager, and it's driving me nuts in this like middle-aged body.
Tell me a little bit about how you came to Reddit.
I came, like almost any other trans person, there's a support sub I moderate now called R Ask Transgender, and that's pretty much the first stop for almost everybody. A lot of the other posts that we deal with are for cries for help, and there are a lot of like suicide posts there, at least like one a day.
This tells you a little bit about where Drewy is coming from. She has a personal experience of being in a marginalized group, and she's also seen the fallout of that online.
And at a certain point, Drewy became aware of some misinformation that was being spread about trans people on parts of Reddit. She wanted to help stop the spread of bad info, so she tried to locate the source.
Which kind of led me into the hate subs, right? It was just like, there were a couple of anti-trans subreddits. They were called Coontown and Transfags. And they were essentially a cesspool of hate. Coontown was anti-black, but again, they hated queers equally. Transfags obviously used to follow all the posts on all the trans subreddits, and they posted, you know, snippets, and they would twist our words.
Drewy found terrible stuff. And we should say that the two subreddits she just mentioned got straight up banned by Reddit administrators for running afoul of the site's rules. But there are others. Some fall into this gray area. Subreddits built around offensive topics, but that are kind of abandoned.
Still others that aren't anything yet, but could be a thing in the future. Think of it almost like how people buy website domain names or grab Twitter handles and then squat on them either so that they can profit or so they can prevent them from being used for nefarious purposes.
Right. And then there are other communities where the moderators have been stripped of privileges for bad behavior. And in the vacuum, other people, like Drewy, can swoop in and request moderator powers over the subreddit.
So there's a small window where there's a chance for you to actually step in, and if you have a good idea, you know, use your troll power for good and not evil, then the chances are they'll give it to you. So I just wrote a really funny post requesting our faggots and telling them I would turn it into a sub that was all about bundles of sticks.
From the podcast Endless Thread on WBUR Boston, dive into the vast possibilities of one of the internet's most popular forums with Endless Thread, available on WVXU's Podcast Central. This week's new addition to the Podcast Central collection will have you in stitches. Picked by Rolling Stone magazine as one of the best comedy podcasts in the world, Jordan Jesse Go is the, quote, dumbest show you can imagine. This award-winning podcast has no content, no format, and makes no sense. Yet it's brightening people's days for nearly 10 years. Ancient in podcasting terms. Each week, hosts Jesse Thorne and Jordan Morris are joined by a celebrity guest for a raucous, vulgar, and warm-hearted romp through the unknown. Jordan and Jesse guarantee you'll be a better person for having listened, but you'll also probably be a bit dumber. With over 500 episodes of Jordan Jesse Go already published, you've got thousands of hours of stupid jokes and hilarious guests to hear, so get going. How about we start with this taste for you from Jordan Jesse Go? The snippet features Dan McCoy and Elliot Callan of the popular Maximum Fun podcast, The Flophouse. Dan and Elliot join the show to talk about their time writing for The Daily Show, funny things Elliot's son has said recently, and much more. In this clip, the guys talk about what it was like to work with Jon Stewart.
It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
I'm Elliot Callan. Guy from the future, doesn't know how toilets work.
Dan McCoy, the pie maker.
Wow.
Two of my favorite Batman villains.
Dan, I feel like that was a real fuck you to Jon Stewart, who nicknamed you the baker.
It's true.
You're like, not good enough, Jon Stewart.
Oh, Elliot, so you, Elliot, you also worked for The Daily Show. Did you have one thing that Jon Stewart knew about you? Although I guess maybe as head writer you worked a little closer
I worked with him for much longer than Dan did. And not, this is not a slag. I'm not like, yeah, I was a little closer to Jon than Dan was, but this is me being like, we worked together for longer and I did work with him closer. So like,
you worked your way up from being an intern too.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Jon also knew me from the age of 20. Not, he wasn't 20. I was. Like, I started as an intern when I was 20, and I worked.
Yeah, you worked on remote control.
Yeah. I mean, there's
was
a.
Was he on that?
I don't know. No, he wasn't. But there was okay. Maybe he was. There was a staff. There is a guy on staff there who worked with Jon on the Jon Stewart show on
TV.
Oh,
wow.
So like, but the, but so he knew me from the age 20 when he didn't know me that well to eight, but it was a smaller staff then.
Sure.
To age 33. So like he, I feel like we got to know each other relatively well, and like every now and then we text and it's very nice.
That's,
you know,
cute.
So
that's cute.
But so I had more of a closer experience with him than Dan did, so I think he knows about at least four things about me.
So you're Velcro wallet then.
Yeah.
I had a reoccurring like terror that Jon would just like scan the room, look over at me and go, so what do you do exactly?
Are you a security guard?
Yeah.
Or? You're writing an article about us, aren't you?
Jon, I've been here for the past 3 years.
Yeah.
I thought it was a very,
very thorough
article. Yeah.
3 years in the life of Jon Stewart. For Newsweek.com.
Oh.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. .com. Well.
I've been writing for .net for 8 years, and they keep telling me they're going to promote me. But
no.
Sorry, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know. Dan, what are your top baking categories?
Baking categories?
Yeah, like what do you prefer? A cookie, a bread? A quick bread?
Scone?
I love a quick bread.
What about a, like, have you ever tried to make a bagel?
I have made a bagel. And, you know, the interesting thing about a bagel, as everyone knows, is you boil it and you bake it.
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't think anyone in L.A. knows that.
Yeah, well, our water's different here.
Sure. Yeah, that's, I don't think that's it.
Nobody reads. Oh, boy.
Or walks anywhere.
Yeah, I know, right?
These are all things that were disproven today.
I did have a beer today that was brewed with avocado, so I felt very, very Californian.
I went to one of these L.A. restaurants. There's a handful of them. We've got a handful of restaurants.
I've been cooking all my own food.
There's a couple of restaurants.
Okay.
One of these restaurants is owned by like a cult.
Oh, okay.
And it was very nice. It's like an out. It's like up
Hubbard's.
Hubbard's
Hamburgers.
Elrond's. Right.
Was the cult the Source family?
Yeah.
Was this on the Sunset Strip in the 1970s? Did you taste green goddess dressing for the first time?
I did. Yeah. All right. I was. Yeah.
A sample from Jordan Jesse Go from Maximum Fun. Laugh along with one of podcasting's first comedy shows. Available now on WVXU's Podcast Central. Our local feature this week is a WVXU staple, Cincinnati Edition. Of course, it's both on air, but also available in podcast form. And it's especially timely we feature it as we have a brand new host for the show. Since its start, Cincinnati Edition has been the premier local show that covers local topics, big and small, from government to education to the arts, every weekday. Tune in on the air at 1 o'clock weekdays or download the podcast anytime and keep up to date on what's going on in your city. Stay informed on important local issues as you listen. For all things Queen City, Cincinnati Edition is the show for you. Just to give you a sample of the show, take a listen to this clip for the future of the Over the Rhine Senior Service Center. Many have feared the center would close its doors, but a new plan to keep it open has emerged. Cincinnati Councilman P.G. Sittenfeld also joins the show to talk about the city's involvement in saving the OTR Senior Service Center. In this clip, CEO of Cincinnati Area Services, Tracy Collins, discusses the conditions that led to the center having to announce its closure.
So what was it that sort of triggered the worry that you were going to have to close this particular center? Was it and does $100,000 really describe that, or is it that you saw issues into the future that, you know, you said we got to make a decision now to prevent long-term greater damage? Why did this come up as a budget problem? What were the underlying issues?
Well, no, the $100,000 really does describe it. Historically, we did receive money from the city of Cincinnati under their human services, that funding. And over the past several years, that funding for us was cut. It was reduced over time. And then in 2015 was our last year of getting that funding. And we lost that funding through them because—
So it was phased out completely.
It was phased out because senior services, funding for senior services is not our agency, but funding for senior initiatives is not part of that funding initiative. So we lost that. So in 2016, we were faced with, what are we going to do? So losing that was a big hit for us. Also, at the same time last year, we lost 50% of our United Way dollars. So having that blow, too, was like, that was like the final straw for us, that we were going to have to close. So in January of this past year, we knew that we were going to have to close our doors this year. So we began looking at additional solutions. We began to try to raise money through fundraising, try to raise money through other grants. And, you know, the reality is, and I say this to donors, and I hate to say this, but seniors aren't cute. They're not, you know, nobody likes to face aging.
I disagree. Well, I disagree.
It's difficult. Seniors,
PG's parents, I know. Myself, we're cute.
But when when you're trying to raise funding for seniors, it's hard for people to look at their own aging issues.
But the one thing I will say.
And so it's difficult for us.
Well, so Tracy raises such an important point. So the two concrete things we announced today, an immediate injection of $50,000 that, you know, I had multiple colleagues call me after the announcement saying, you know, let me put my wet signature on that budgetary motion and the transfer for $1. But she is right. I mean, there does need to be a more global conversation, and I am going to be happy to initiate this around. I think some people had good intentions in terms of saying, because look, the things that are prioritized in the human services funding, addiction treatment, homelessness, you know, violence prevention has been in there. No one would ever say those aren't worthy. They're incredibly worthy. They're incredibly important. But it's not a win for the city to say we're going to help people in the grip of addiction while taking resources away from low income seniors who in their golden years just want to go for a hot meal. So I think you will probably see at minimum a conversation around the parameters of that funding. And, you know, I mean, look, my own involvement in senior services initiatives, you know, I created the Golden Cincinnati Initiative of the city, is no secret. So I think you'll see a lot of people like me advocating this has to be part of the total package of things that we believe are eligible for human services dollars.
A sample of Cincinnati Edition podcast version. Stay in the know on important issues facing our city with Cincinnati Edition, available on demand on WVXU's Podcast Central. As we wrap up 2018, it's time to step back and see which new podcasts deserve the crown for the best podcasts of the year. We're taking next week off, so today and in our first episode of 2019, we'll take a look at the top 10 podcasts as ranked by the podcast rating firm Podtrac. Let's start with number 10. In the war on terror, who is it we're really fighting? Caliphate from the New York Times. Number 10 podcast features Rukmini Kalamachi, covers terrorism for the paper on her quest to understand ISIS. At number 9, Oprah's Masterclass. Hear the greatest life lessons of some of the most respected and renowned actors, musicians, public figures, and athletes handpicked by Oprah. These luminaries reveal their lives with candor and insight in their own words. At number 8, Unobscured, podcast that digs deep to shed light on some of history's darkest moments and to help better understand where we've come from. Each season pairs narrative storytelling from Eric Mankey, creator of the hit podcast Lore, with prominent historians. Season 1, The Salem Witch Trials. At number 7, This Is Love from PRX, from the makers of the award-winning podcast Criminal. This Is Love investigates life's most persistent mystery, stories of sacrifice, obsession, and the ways in which we bet everything on each other. And at number 6, Work Life, with organizational psychologist Adam Grant, as he takes you inside some of the world's most unusual workplaces to discover the keys to better work. Whether you're learning how to love criticism or trust a coworker you can't stand, one thing's for sure, you'll never see your job the same way again. And in our next episode, our first of 2019, we'll continue the countdown with the top 5 podcasts of 2018. That wraps up this episode of Start Here, WVXU's Discovery Podcast. And speaking of discovery, astronomical discovery, that is, you want to check out our newest original podcast, Looking Up, with Dean Regas and Anna Heyman. Dean's the outreach astronomer at the Cincinnati Observatory and co-host of the PBS series Stargazers and author of the book Facts from Space. Anna's the observatory's director of development with an innate curiosity about the cosmos. That's Looking Up, now at WVXU.org. And if you're turning into a podcast junkie and just can't get enough, try these two new discovery resources, NPR's The Big Listen with Laura Ober. You get an audio peek into great storytelling podcasts. And for a more blog-like written review and recommendation, NPR has earbud.fm. They use unique categories to help you discover podcasts with things like advice, do it like a lady, and big ideas. And of course, Jim Nolan, Kevin Reynolds, and the WVXU staff feature our favorites on Podcast Central at WVXU.org. That's where we'll add your recommendations if you just email us at podcast@wvxu.org or call 513-294-8030 and leave us a voicemail. I'm Trip Eldridge for WVXU, and thank you for choosing to start here.